Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear now once again the gospel reading from John chapter 6. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back, no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So far, the gospel reading. While manufacturing his Model T, Henry Ford was quoted as saying, "You can buy any color Model T you wish, as long as that color is black." Admittedly, the Model T and Ford cars weren't always black, but for a number of years, that was the case. There was a number of reasons offered why that this was a situation. It could have been easily enough that the car looked good in black. Secondly, the process of applying the paint and the paint itself was called baked enamel, which held up well and was always easily touched up. Another reason was that using the assembly line and trying to keep the cars affordable for the masses, the black paint was cheaper and could dry faster, and so would speed up the production. And not having to separate lines for a variety of colors, that also kept the car economical. But then in stepped the competition in different colors, offering people choices, and eventually the people expected to have different colors available. Choices of different colors could easily draw the people away from Ford's and to different manufacturers, whether the competition was better or not. Choices would make loyalty difficult to follow, as is the case in nearly every walk of life. Life and the decisions of life would be much simpler, wouldn't they, if there were fewer choices? Just consider the difficulties you encounter in buying anything electronic. If they were all the same, the determining factors could boil down to simply availability, price, or color. But that's not the case. Decisions could be made simply, but all these choices. And it's more than just color, right? The magazine Consumer Reports survives on the basis that people need help making their choices. The magazine assists by doing the research and coming up with their solutions of which product is the best. Now, while making the wrong choice doesn't always have extreme consequences, such as choosing a path that leads to a cliff over which you're in a fall, Satan loves to use choices to draw us away from Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way, truth, and life. Sometimes Satan likes to offer choices that appear to be easier than the one the Lord has laid out. At other times, he offers choices that, well, they sound appealing and seem to be agreeable to the majority. Still, at other times, when we fail to understand what the Lord has in store for us or why things are happening to us as they do, he offers choices which make sense to us in our limited knowledge and experience. Jesus' disciples were encountering these temptations of Satan. Immediately following the tremendous miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we know that Jesus offered his discourse on what is known as the Discourse on Bread of Life. As he was teaching this lesson, many who followed him, who no doubt had been filled, had their stomachs filled with the bread and the fish Jesus had provided, chose to quit following Jesus. because his teaching appeared, well, to be too difficult, too hard to understand. From the thousands that had followed Jesus, heard him speak, and were part of the miraculous feeding, the number that followed Jesus diminished considerably. In somewhat of a bandwagon mentality, you might say, many turned away, wouldn't listen to Jesus any longer. When Jesus then turned to his 12 disciples and asked them this very direct question, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" That's a question looking for the answer he was hoping for. No, he was going to follow. There was a question, however, with some real heft to it, isn't it? How were they going to answer it? As they saw the masses turning away, would they get in line with them or with Jesus? When Jesus' teachings were not the initial religion 101 classes and were not filled with illustrations and parables, but were deep and spiritual and required some discernment, were they going to change their majors and go to something simpler or more appealing, humanly speaking? Are we? When Satan brings his choices into our lives, what will our answers be? We pray they'll be like Peter's. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And in considering this answer, we want to see that Satan's choices as choices which lead us away from Jesus in our thinking and in our lives. And then remember that Jesus is our Savior who assures us of eternal life. Now, we've already briefly reviewed the context of this portion of John. Jesus had fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. The people had been satisfied and were willing to listen to Jesus for a while. As a matter of fact, they even wanted to make him their king. But Jesus would have none of that. He crossed over the Sea of Galilee to join his disciples, who had left earlier in a boat. Yes, Jesus walked on the water to his disciples, about 3 miles out in the sea. Eventually, the crowd went in search of Jesus and found him then in Capernaum. But Jesus was aware of why they wanted to see him. They wanted to talk to Jesus because he had fed them. To which Jesus simply responded that they were not to work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, will give them. The crowd followed that statement with what one might call a cover question. "What must we do to do the works God requires?" To which Jesus then answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Notice, there are no options, no choices offered here. Believe in the one God has sent. Simple, direct, and complete. But that's still not enough. They wanted this bread from heaven that was sent from the Father. They wanted more miracles and more proof, to which Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." He continued then to explain all of this, but it appears that it was more, the more that he explained, the more the people became, shall we say, disenchanted with him. And the more they walked away from him. Because to follow him was, well, too difficult. And the choices Satan gave them just to walk away was just much easier and more appealing. Things haven't changed, friends. Satan is still offering the choices to follow him. Whether it is in the ways that are loveless and judging, condemning, selfish, prideful, politically correct, or appealing to the masses. All of these choices take one away from Jesus. Think for a moment of the variety of choices Satan puts before us. We know that God is the creator of all things. Satan says, "Oh, no, all this came about just by chance, by some big explosion. And so we don't owe allegiance to any creator." We know that God is the giver of life. Satan says, "Let's not just call something life in the womb. Let's call it a choice, and then we can terminate it." We know that God numbers our days as the giver of life. Satan would tell us, "Oh no, it's our life. We can do with it as we please. We can decide when we die. We know that God ordained marriage for the benefit of society. Satan says, you don't need to honor your vows or promises. You have a right to go your own way. Seek your own happiness. We know that God tells us to love one another. Satan says that life, it's all about you. Do what's best for you. And we know that the list goes on, doesn't it? And it's easy enough to say that the importance of these choices is more than just whether you want a different color than black for your car. Satan's choices are to take us away from Jesus, to take us literally directly to hell. Which is why we focus today on Peter's powerful answer. Peter, regularly the first to speak, even though not always correct, got it right this time. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, for Peter and for us, there were no choices. Jesus has the words to eternal life. Why would one go anywhere else? The faith that God has worked in our hearts is saving faith in Jesus alone. It doesn't matter what others are doing. It doesn't matter what others believe. All that matters is Jesus, Christ alone. At times, it appears so simple that there must be more. No, there doesn't need to be more. Jesus is enough. To misquote Henry Ford, you can have any Savior you want as long as it is Jesus. We think about these words. What a gift it is to know that Jesus, to know the forgiveness of sins, to know that if we've made the wrong choices, Jesus is there to forgive us and to change the outcome. If we've made wrong choices, the past can be forgiven and a future can be lived to follow him. You think of those that abandon Jesus. Imagine that. They abandon the Son of God. We do too when we make those wrong choices. Thank God he never abandons us. He never gets frustrated with us, tired of us, but always is in love with us, always there to forgive, to pick us up, to love us. You know, that's an important thing to think about at a time when all the choices seem to go against what we believe and know, what we teach and what we follow. All the choices of the world seem to go against what God would choose for us. But like Peter, we can have this wonderful confidence. We can say too, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. That hasn't changed. There isn't any other choice. It's always been, always will be, Jesus. Follow him to his glory and praise, to eternal life. Amen.